getting off of that, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Now, remember, we got into last week, what would the church and what would the saints be doing? Why the tribulation time that we described is happening upon the earth. We will be going through the judgment seat of Christ. And we looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And we recognized several different things. Number one, everybody has to have the same foundation. You can't build on any other foundation than Jesus Christ. Paul made that clear. And if you don't have the foundation of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. That's where it's got to start. That's where it stops. And there's no substitute. And don't ever get buy into this idea and theory that Buddha and Muhammad and any other way is avenues to heaven apart from Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And so some people says, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't mind offending them. I had some religious people come to the house the other day knocking on the door, and I said, who are you representing? They told me, I said, not interested. They started talking, I said, what don't you understand about not interested? I said, they said, do you go to church? You read Bible? I said, yes, that's why I'm not interested. And I said, there's only one way and you don't have that way. And I'm not interested in talking to you. And so Chris probably thought I was a little harsh on them, but I wasn't harsh on them. They just couldn't take no for an answer. And I didn't want any part of them. Wasn't going to bid them Godspeed because they were out there pushing something that's not true. And, anyway, getting back, we have that foundation. And then each of us has the opportunity of building on that foundation. We all have 24 hours a day, as we talked last week. We all have sources of income, revenue that we can use for the Lord's work. We all have certain talents that God's given us with, and we all have our own individual ministries that God holds us accountable once we are saved. Now, things that we do are just for temporary things, for selfish things, for worldly things, for earthly things, wood, hay, and stubble. They will be burned up. They will be lost in the process. And the Bible says there that we will suffer great loss. I don't know what it would be like, but I can imagine we're sitting there, and you can only imagine if everything that you live for after you got saved went up and you had nothing to offer the Lord. You can imagine how you would feel in heaven. Realizing, because then you'll recognize what a sacrifice that Jesus made. You'll realize the goodness of God and how great it really was. And so when you see that, then it will really change. And the Bible says we will be saved yet so by fire, but we will suffer loss. Now, and so it's very important that you understand that the Bible says that when Jesus returns, he'll bring his reward with him. In other words, the rewards that each one of us has or has not earned. And even in John writes in 2 John that we look to ourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, so it's going to be a time for some of great sorrow. Somebody said, well, there won't be any crying up there because there's no crying in heaven, but that's not true. The time for God to wipe tears away has not come yet. He will not wipe the tears away before the judgment seat of Christ. We will go through that being able to shed tears. We will also go through the great white throne judgment. If we're saved, we will be there with him judging the world and the angels, but yet we will still have the ability to cry. The tears will still be there. It's not over until over in chapter 21 that we find that God wipes away all tears from our eyes. After the new heaven, new earth, the great white throne judgment is done, and this judgment of the saints. So when we are taken out, we will stand and we will be judged. Some people will lose the efforts and works that they have because they were all for earthly temporary means. And they have nothing to give to the Lord. But now, this morning as well, there will be some that will give a reward. Now imagine what it would be like when you see Jesus and you go through this judgment, and you are able to offer something up. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 4, and I want to start out with a couple of these, a couple of thoughts. In chapter 4, we have a vision up in heaven. And the Bible introduces a couple things. It introduces some beast. They describe as beast. If you look in verse 8, and four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And so when John got to see up in heaven around the throne of God, he saw these beasts. Now these beasts, their purpose, and these are types, I believe, types of angels, probably serpents, that the Bible describes other places and calls them that. They have the responsibility of worshiping and praising God continually, day in and day out. All day long, all night long, they do nothing but praise and honor and worship God. Now, then notice as well in verse number 10, and this is important. The 24 elders, I've had a lot of people say, what are the 24 elders? The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So some people says, what are these 24 elders? Who are they? How did they get in heaven? There's a couple things that when you go back into the Bible that you look at and you study and you find out. And when you find 24 mentioned, you find that David took the Levitical priest that worshiped and was serving in the temple. And he set them up, and he set 24 of them over to represent all the priests. He set 24 courses of them over the temple. And so those 24 represented the entire priesthood. So when you look at these 24 elders, you find, number one, that they're there before the throne of God. And if you notice here that they worship him, but they have crowns. Where do they get their crowns? What's the crowns that they have? And the word here, it means didaim. It means that they have earned something to put upon their head. They have crowns. So they have been given crowns, these 24 elders. Now, knows what they do. And the Bible says they worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So these 24 elders, whoever they are, and of course the number 12 represented governments, and they would represent the whole of a government. And so some people believe, and I'm of this class, that the 24 elders represent the saints of God, either New Testament saints or either New Testament and Old Testament saints, but they represent the complete government of those two bodies. And so here, because they have crowns, they have done something to earn crowns, but they have earned them, but in earning them and in receiving them, now they turn around and the crowns they've won, the crowns they've earned, they take off and they cast at the feet of Jesus. Now, we'll notice Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and the Bible describes that in heaven he'll have many, many crowns. And not only crowns he's earned, but the things that we have earned and everybody has earned when they get to heaven, they're going to find out there's one person that's responsible for those. Had it not been for him, we would not got anything. So here are these 24 elders, and they're just not 24 elders that was created for heaven, because the Bible never describes anything like that. These are people, are representatives up there that's got crowns that they've earned, that they lay before Jesus because he is worthy to receive them back of what they've done. Now let's look a little further over in chapter 5. We find them mentioned again. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders, now there they are again, mentioned up there and down here again, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. In other words, these people had been, when Jesus receives the book, what this book is when he begins to open it, as we studied already, he's taking back the control of the earth. It was lost through sin, through Satan. Satan is God of the age, the God of this world, and he's taken a hold and control of the world. Jesus is fixing to take control back. All through the seals, all through the trumpet judgments, all through the vials, when it's finished and he comes and he steps upon the earth to reign upon the earth, he will have then taken and conquered the earth and the opposing armies and enemies. He will reign, as we'll see in the scripture later on. And then at the end of that, the great white throne judgment and beast and false prophet and Satan are all cast into hell. And then he will have all of his enemies under his footstool. And when that, there'll be a new heaven, new earth, and God will then, he'll give the reign back over to God, the Father. But now notice, if you would, in chapter 5, the Bible says that in verse number 8, when he had taken the book, and the 24 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, for how long and how many prayers have went up, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. How many times have we prayed that God would take control of this old world again? How many times have we prayed that the wickedness and sin and evil will be put down? How many times have we prayed to see Satan end up his reign and see God take it from him? Well, the time is now coming as the book is going to be opened. But see, John saw the book and nobody was able to open the book. Then he saw the Lamb, the only one possible in heaven that's able to open it, the only one possible able to do what's got to be done. And so now the 24 elders fall down and worship the Lamb, and they're full, and they have these things full of the prayers of the saints that's been praying for this moment for so long. And now it's fixing to come to pass. All this time waiting, since Jesus left and promised he would return, now he's returned, he's taken us. Tribulation time's happening upon the earth. We're going through our judgment seat of Christ, and now we have received rewards. Now, the 24 elders here, they fall down with all the prayers of the saints. Look, if you would, in verse 9. And they, the 24 elders sung of what? A new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast done what? Huh? Redeemed us to God. Now, these 24 elders are not just beings like angels. They have been redeemed to God by the Lamb. They have been purchased by the Lamb. That's what the word redeem means. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He said, thou hast redeemed us, the 24 elders. Thou hast redeemed us out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. So here, the 24 elders came from all the people around the world that had ever been redeemed. Look here. And has made us, verse 10, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, and the Bible says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, the thing that I want you to notice in verse number 14, he goes on down. In verse 13, he says, And every creature which is in heaven, on earth, and under earth, and such as are in sea, and all them that's heard it, I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sit upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. What are we going to be doing in heaven? We're going to be worshiping the Lamb of God forever and ever and ever and ever. Everything that we are, everything that we have, everything we possess goes back to Him. But you know what? When we see the Lamb for who He is, and He's going to be the center point of heaven, Paul, Job, David, Solomon, all of them will pale in comparison to Jesus. Nobody else is going to have your viewpoint, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, which they won't be in heaven. But none of them will have your attention. There'll be one that'll have your attention. That will be the Lamb of God. And here as we are judged, the Bible says that we will suffer if we lose our rewards. And we will suffer loss. It will be a sad time when we have to suffer this loss. But if we receive rewards, it will be a tremendous moment for you. Not only will you feel, not only will you have the sense of thankfulness to God for what He gave you, but then these 24 elders took their crowns. And so this morning, let's take a moment and look at some crowns that are mentioned in the Bible. Turning your Bible first to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I know many of you probably have seen these before, but some maybe not. But I want to go over them real quickly with you. And the Bible mentions five crowns. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Now every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. In other words, he talks about an incorruptible crown. This is given to those who are faithful, that have run the race well. You say, well, what advantage will it be for me to run the race well? The advantage is when you get to heaven and you're able to get and you receive an incorruptible crown, and you get that crown, and you receive it because you have run a good race, it will be such a wonderful time, and it will be such a blessing for you to have received that from the Lord. And so here, for the Lord to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and you receive, I know I used to play a lot of sports. How many of you ever played sports? How many of you ever got a trophy for playing sports? You know, now the philosophy is today, well, let's give them all trophies. It don't matter how they perform, what they do, just give them trophies. Make them all feel, but you know what? Sometimes I've said this in a Christian school, coaching, that sometimes it's hard to get people motivated because you've got such a small group, you don't have the force on the bench to force them to play hard. And when you don't have much of a bench, then what they do is they get lazy and complacent, thinking that they can't be replaced. But you know, I tell them, and some of them, when it gets time to play in tournaments and all that, they want to receive the all-conference trophies and all this trophies and that trophies, and those things are good, but you need to earn them. And some people gets upset. Some of them gets upset when they don't get them. And sometimes people down here makes a mistake. Sometimes somebody should have received one that didn't receive it, and sometimes they need to receive one. I know this last year, we had in the girls' volleyball, we had probably one, if not the best player in the state, didn't get it, didn't get Miss Volleyball. The reason why she didn't get it was because of her attitude, her conduct, and her character. That all plays in a role. Well, her and her mom had their lip all hung out over it. But she didn't earn it because all those things are part of the process of getting that award. And you got to show some character along with it. And you got to show some example and leadership. And so, anyway, up there, there'll be no mistakes. There'll be nobody slotted. If you earn it, you get it. If you didn't earn it, you won't get it. But you know, if you ever played sports, it's good, and I've had the privilege to earn a few trophies. It's good to be able to sit there and have your name called and be recognized. And people recognize you. And you know, some of the greatest trophies that you get is when your peers recognize or other coaches recognize, and they put you up and they recognize you as the player that they see you to be. And then you are able to get rewarded because of it. So in heaven, it's going to be much the same way, only it's going to be perfect. The reward system will be perfect. If all your works and your efforts have been wood, hay, and stubble, you're going to suffer loss and be sad. But if it's gold, silver, and precious stone, and you've earned some things, God's going to give you some crowns. One is this incorruptible crown if you've been faithful in running the race. Let's look at a couple others real quickly. Look, if you would, in James chapter 1. I'm going to send you around a little bit. Stay with me. James chapter 1. We have another crown mentioned. I've had some people say, well, these crowns don't mention. Well, why does he mention crowns in Revelation for 24 elders? Why does he mention these as crowns? Look, if you would, in chapter 1 of James, in verse number 12. Blessed is a man that endureth what? Temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the what? Crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Everybody's faced with temptations, and sometimes we're faced with great temptations. And when we have succeeded in facing those things, we receive the crown of life. One of the greatest temptations that we have is never be saved. I mean, every one of us, when God began to deal with our heart about being saved, we were tempted by the devil and by his angels and cohorts and by our flesh and by the world not to do it. We were tempted to hang on to the old life. But there's other temptations that we go through too. And so the Bible says, and I don't know exactly how it's going to be, but the Bible says that those who endure these temptations will receive a crown of life.
So there again,
and another crown mentioned. Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, we find another crown that's mentioned. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. Paul talking about people who had been saved under his ministry and he's helped win to the Lord. He says, for what is our hope, what is our joy, or our crown of rejoicing? Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? In other words, he said, there'll be a crown of rejoicing at his coming. Now, Proverbs says that we will have many stars in our crown if we've won many souls. And so the question is, are you going to get to heaven and all this time, all your life, you've been saved, and nowhere never have you ever tried to win somebody to the Lord and seen and been a help in bringing them to salvation? Nowhere in your life have you ever witnessed to someone, told them about the gospel, and seen those people got saved? That you've prayed for them and you've encouraged them and invited them? That's where the crown of rejoicing comes. Can you imagine getting in heaven and realizing and recognizing to the fullest extent of your life how great salvation really is? And then being there and Lord said, this is what I've done for you. Now, did you share it with anybody else? Do you have any stars in your crowns for anyone that you've won to the Lord? Or have you been all about all this other stuff? And you know, sometimes, I like to watch sometimes. I like to watch sports teams and Kentucky. I like to watch them play sometimes. I like to watch, of course, Jordan. I always I favor them when they're playing. But those things are, as far as the awards and trophies, that stuff will be left behind. Won't mean nothing. Now, there might be some character building and different things that's brought about. And hopefully, somewhere along the way, it will make an influence. I know we went over to a place in Middlesboro Friday night. And it's a big old church over there. And they've had up to 350, 400 kids in their school. Just their Christian school. They have a big old church, a big ministry over there. My dad used to go. There's been a grandfather and father and son now is pastor there. But the grandfather, my dad used to go there and take prisoners. He worked at a prison over there and take prisoners to his church when he was over there working at a prison. It was a trustee prison. And he would go over there. His name's Bingham, W. Bingham. And And I've heard him preach before, and man, he was a good preacher. But they've got a good church there, and they've got several ministries, and they've even got the pastor now, his mother, she has a bakery or something there. And the pastor and the coach came to me before we played the other night, and they told me, so next time you all come, we want you to come early, and we want to feed everybody that's with you. And we want to feed the whole bunch. And says, Mom wants to cook for you, and it's on us. You won't have to pay nothing. And I said, well, that's awful nice of you. He said, listen. He said, we watched your school, and we've been impressed with what we've seen above most other schools. And he said, you've been a great help to us and an influence to us, and we've watched you stand against certain things that they brought about in the meetings up there. And he said, we want to do this. But you know, sometimes anything that we have, work, ball games, whatever we have, we might be able to influence other people. You never know. But you know what? Wouldn't it be sad to get to heaven? And how many of you, just a question. How many of you have been saved over 10 years? How many have been saved over 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? Wouldn't it be sad to be saved 50 years and not have one single person that you've ever won to the Lord? Somebody said, well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. The Bible's full of people that won other people to the Lord. As a matter of fact, some of the first apostles was won by their brothers. When they got saved, they went out and found them and brought them to the Lord. But wouldn't it be sad to go through that? So there's a crown of rejoicing, crown of life, incorruptible crown that we're told about. Then in 2 Timothy, while you're there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. How many of you believe Jesus is coming? How many of you believe he's coming soon? Well, this crown is given to those who believe that and do certain things. Look what he says, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just a second, I turn myself to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice if you would in verse number 8. Paul said in verse 7, I have fought a good fight, finished my course and kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also, what? Love his appearing. And so, again, you have a crown of those who love his appearing. The Bible tells us in John that those who love his appearing will purify themselves by watching for his coming. And in other words, they're looking, they're anticipating his coming, they're living like he's coming, and they're believing that he's coming. And so that's important. And you got people in the last days just living life any way they want to, say they're saved and all that. But you've got some, we'll use this example, you got some here. They've been on the church roll for years, and you can't get them to come to church at all. And they say, oh, I believe Jesus is coming. They don't believe Jesus is coming. Don't believe he might come in today. But you know what? If he did come, you think they're going to receive something? And if they are saved, a lot of them probably not even saved, but if they are saved, what do you think they will have? And the last one's mentioned, and we'll go to that real quick. Now, I'll close out for today. But if you look with me, if you would, in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, this one is to pastors, but the Bible also teaches that those who receive a prophet, name a prophet, shall receive a prophet's reward. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd shall come, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In other words, he goes on up and he's talking about those that are elders. Says in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, for not for filthy lucre, but for ready mind. In other words, we are pastor. We are not to pastor for the money that we can get. We're not to pastor for the authority and taking lord over God's heritage. In verse 3, about that. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being example to the flock. In other words, we're not to pastor. I've seen some people that they think that pastor means that they can tell everybody what to do and everybody's got to just do what they say anyway and they got to live by their convictions. That's not what pastors is all about. I'm going to tell you something. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm going to close. When you see pastors becoming dictators over the flock and micromanaging everybody's life and decisions, that's what cults are made out of. And you need to be very careful when that happens. And so beware when you see that and you see everybody being whatever the pastor says, that's what they're going to do. He says, and it's good to listen to the pastor, but it's better to listen to the chief shepherd. Jesus is the authority. I'll fail you, but he'll never fail you. I might lead you astray in something, but he'll never lead you astray in nothing. And so therefore, what you need to understand is this: beware when you see churches and denominations built around a man. Whether it's Roman Catholic, they walk around, kiss his hand and kiss his feet and worship the ground he walks on. Psh. Cult. There's only one that you worship. That's the Lamb of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for many blessings. Thank you for this day. We ask you, Lord, just go with us, lead, guide, and direct us as only you can. We love you. And Lord, we ask you to help us as we prepare for that day, recognizing and knowing, Lord, that there's going to come a reckoning of all those of us who are saved to give an account of those things done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.